So as I was saying, very excited to be back at Benot Sinai, learning together with everyone. This year, I guess, this hybrid, in person and virtual, and some familiar faces and some new faces. So hopefully we'll get to know everyone a bit better over lunch and over the course of the next couple weeks. This is my third summer at Benot Sinai. Every summer is a wonderful learning experience. And this year, we're lucky enough to be starting at the beginning of Elul's month. Rosh Chodesh, right? It's Aleph Elul. So that this is when you start learning, right? I'm always impressed by people who take the time, you know, during what's usually vacation time to come and learn together. So kudos to all of you, and it's my schus to be able to learn with you here. So over the next 2 weeks, our goal is to learn, hopefully, at least part of Perek Shiluach HaKein, the last Perek in Maseches Chulin that talks about sending away the mother bird. Today, we're not going to be in the Perek itself, but for future days, if you have a Gemara, it's preferable to work from that. But today, we're just going to be doing, the introductory Ashir Psicha on what's it all about, what's the reason for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. And you saw the Mekoros, you saw the sources. There's a lot of interesting material here. One of the goals for choosing this parak is it's only a few dapim in the Gemara. It's the sort of thing you can really cover in just 2 weeks. I've generally tried to pick, instead of taking a huge topic and you get 10% into, to pick something that's accomplishable, and that's our goal. So with that, why don't we get started and we'll do this, I guess, optionally. Generally, it's always better when people in the shir read. So we'll leave that as an option for people. Opt-in, I'm not going to call on people, at least not today. But if we have volunteers, I think it makes the learning better. We're probably not going to read every source inside for reasons of time. But there's a lot to work through here. So do we have a volunteer for starting off with the psukim at the beginning? Okay, Okay, do you want to translate? That's also optional, but encouraged.
Okay, if you come upon a nest of a bird before you on your way in any tree or on the land, like small baby birds, I guess,
yeah.
Or eggs, and the mother is sitting on her kids or on the eggs, don't take the mother on the eggs.
And what is, you said on, which is the literal translation, how is al functioning here?
Around?
Or while the mother is by the baby, don't take her when she's right there, right by the sons. Instead,
send away the mother and take the kid, for it will be good for you and you will have a long life.
Okay, great. And just about every word here, we're going to see that Gemara has some drasha, and we'll end up dealing with a lot of the details here. We should mention the difference between Kan and Kain, which is the small grammatical point, right? But it is Shiluach HaKein, which is the name of the nest, and when it's in Smichas, when it's in the construct form, Kan Tzipor is the Kan, is the Kain of a Tzipor, is Kan Tzipor. If someone says Shiluach HaKan, technically that's incorrect, but we'll accept that too. There is some sort of logic here standing behind this pasuk, apparently, one would think. And we're going to look at a bunch of different approaches to what exactly that is. Why do you want to send away the mother bird? Now, there's all sorts of ancillary questions that we're going to get to, like should you go out of your way to try to come across a situation of sending, doing Shiluach HaKein. Some people nowadays do that, some don't. So we're going to get into that. Hopefully, I think that's, if everything works out, that'll be Wednesday, comes up in the Gemara. But there's a lot of other questions. Let's just focus on trying to understand the reason here. And there's no explicit reason, right? There's a reward, there's a situation, and it's worth noting there's both a lav and an asay, right? Both a prohibition, lo sikach ha'em al avanim, don't take the mother, And instead, shaleach tishalach es ha'em. Instead, send away the mother. So that's also a question of the exact relation between those two, which we'll get to another time. There's basically, well, right, I'll throw this out as a question. How would you categorize, you saw either most or all of the sources. So there's a lot of different reasons. How would you categorize the different types of reasons that are given? You know, sort of big, you know, if you had to break it down into two or three big categories. Yeah?
I guess.
Oh, and I should, everyone should say their name before they, yeah.
Hi, my name is Sari. I guess I would say it's between, you know, it's a meet up or Ackerman. Sometimes it's also just like you don't want to extinguish that mean, or it's just a gazera.
Okay, so you're giving three categories. I think some of them may be broader categories than others, right? But the three were right, rachamim, mercy, not extinguishing the species, which I think is more specific, and agzera, which is sort of a non-reason, right?
I guess not extinguishing the species could go under rachamim, maybe.
No, I think there is a distinction. It's important you made that distinction between, are we focusing on how people feel, right, feelings, or are we just focusing on results, right? There's a difference there. I think I had a similar breakdown, which was, right, issues relating to rachamim, mercy or not. I had one category of sort of other, which includes gzera, but there'll be a couple of other things that don't fit in so well. But then there's another category of called pragmatic, which I think kiyum hamin, you know, keeping the species alive, falls under. So just because most of our discussion is going to be on the question about does it relate to mercy or is it gzera, the Gemara, in Brachos. So because of that, let's just get out of the way, so to speak, the other reasons, the pragmatic reasons. So what are, and sorry, I said one of them, what are the pragmatic reasons for not taking the mother along with the baby? So we heard the reason of keeping the species alive. And which of the sources talks about that? Rabbeinu B'chai, right? Source number three, he's not the only one, but on our sheet, he's one of the main ones who talked about it. I tried not to have too much redundancy on the sheet. So does someone want to read the beginning of source three? Hannah, you want to? Yeah, you volunteered. Okay, and you want to hazard a translation?
Yeah, sure. So it's explaining like al dat hapshat that the Torah that the Torah commanded us in the kiyum hamin, like keeping the species alive and not like completely destroyed. And even though we're allowed to do shechita generally, it's for the purpose of eating. And like you're not allowed to totally destroy the species.
Right, and this is a very interesting principle, right? That animals, it's permitted to harm or even kill animals for human purposes, right? That's what eating meat is, but not to wipe out a whole species, right? So, you know, there seems to be some principle here that environmental, you know, that in that direction of preservation of species is actually a Jewish value, according to Rabbeinu B'chai. Okay, keep going.
And then if you take the mother and the son together, I mean, well, like, if you take the child while like the mother bird is watching, it says if you extinguish the whole species.
Okay, and what do you do with that as if? How do you understand that?
Like, not literally.
You're obviously not literally, right, it's just two animals, right? You're not, or two, or one, you know, one mother bird and a few chicks or whatnot. You haven't actually killed those species. So then why do we care? Why is this a problem? Why shouldn't it just say, you know, don't wipe out an entire animal species? Why is there a prohibition here? What's the connection? Right, it's as if, okay.
Should, like, offer a suggestion?
Sure.
I guess it offers, like, more of a rationale behind why you're doing it, and perhaps, like, it's, like, an emotional reason. Like, if you see a mother and son right there, like the mother bird and the child, then it's like, oh, like, if I'm doing this, it's as if I destroy the whole species, how can I as a person do that?
Right, so that's interesting. One way of taking it, as Hannah just did, is to sort of draw it into the mercy camp a little bit, right? To say, well, you know, it's wrong to wipe out a whole species. You're not doing that, but what you're doing is similar enough that you should feel as if, you know, you should feel bad. Well, that's pulling it into the most mercy direction, but I think you could do. What's the alternative? Yeah? Oh, okay. We'll give, because the people on the camera have a harder time getting my attention, they'll get precedence. Yes, Rena. Okay, yeah, great point. So I think this is the other approach, right? Which is not that, you know, since it's wrong to wipe out a whole species, things that are similar you should feel bad about or you shouldn't do for that. But actually it might lead to it, right? It's like, you know, you might call it a gzera. If enough people just kill, you know, the parent and child or the mother and the children, you might end up in a place where the whole species is wiped out. And as you point out, you know, there are modern day examples of this, right? Where people, you know, I'm just going hunting, just take a couple of animals or poach a couple of eggs or whatever. Not that sort of poaching eggs, you understand. And then there's nothing left, right? So yeah, it could be not operating on the level of, you know, that it looks the same and you shouldn't do either, but rather that it actually might lead to those negative results. Okay, Hannah, I think you have like a few more words to translate, if I'm not mistaken.
By not
almost killing off the whole species, you preserve them, kind of what Rina was saying. Yeah, so it's like mida keneged mida, right? Meaning you didn't wipe out the whole species, so you get rewarded that Hashem will have mercy on you. Hashem won't wipe you out. Now, so there is a bit of mercy in here at the end, right? So I think both of those readings of Rabbeinu Bechai can work, whether you think about it as fully objective or some sort of result you're trying to avoid tied in with mercy. But that's this reason, right? It's not focusing on mercy. It's focusing on the negative result of wiping out the whole species. And one thing we're going to try to do as we go through these reasons is to think about what other mitzvos are they comparable to. He doesn't spell this out here. He doesn't spell this out here. Other people might compare this to which other mitzvah? Osav Espino, right? In general, you shouldn't kill a parent and child animal on the same day, right? So other people draw this comparison. It would work very well for Rabbeinu Bechai. If you're worried about wiping out the whole species, so that's just as true for animals as it is for birds, all things equal. So he doesn't spell this out here, but other people do. It's worth keeping that question in the back of our head. What mitzvah are they comparing our mitzvah to that will give some insights into how to understand it? Okay, and what's the other than Kiyum Hamin, which is an important one? I think actually, you know, Josephus actually mentions it too, just to throw that out there, not on the handout. It's not really a classical source. But a lot of early readers of the Torah thought the same way. What other pragmatic reason is there? Yeah.
And I think that Bella Barbanel says it's about, like, for us, like, we just kind of, like, the mother bird can, like, produce more eggs for us. So, like, it's, like, kind of practically, like, to have, like, the thing that's, like, you compare it to cutting down a fruit tree. Like, we need the thing that, like, produces in order to, like, sustain us, basically.
Great. Yeah, it's pragmatic, right? You want to, you never want to destroy the means of production, right? That's just a bad industrial approach. So, yeah, so let's take a look at least a few lines of the Barbanel. I don't know, Nettie, do you want to read that? Just to get a sense of that approach.
So he's saying, right, like, in addition to the fact that, like, it should, like, kind of remove us from cruelty and, like, perfect our midot, the Torah is also, like, telling us this in order to, like,
like make us like not like the draw far away from like any possible loss like that should happen like before its time, that like the things that are like should continue to be like always like as much as they can, that like the and like they should always like be giving as much as they can like to make the fruits, that like the fruits are compared to like the like children that the mother's making, just like a fruit tree like makes fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple more. Yeah.
Mitziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo yashchus hadavar hagolid ve'oseh pri aval kemo shehutra krisas hapri v'nasra krisas ha'eitz. So kacha tziva shemi kacha badem shehu hapri sha'in no tenes v'yosa roveses aleihem v'lo nashchus ha'eitz ba'atma. Aval nishlach ha'sa'in k'dei sha'nachnu yuzev min habanim o hafrochim v'ha'im tasa pri acher v'tas min ha'veya v'hatava. So he's saying, right, like Hashem commanded us not to destroy something that like produces and creates fruit. So just like the Torah made it usher for us to like cut down the tree itself, but allowed us to eat the fruit, like cut the fruit. So similarly, we're allowed to take the children because that's like the fruit. But the mother, who's like, we have to like leave staying on the eggs. Or it's the mother that's sitting on them, we have to leave, and we shouldn't like actually destroy the tree itself, but we like send away the mother bird, and then we can like eat from the chicks, and the mother can go ahead and like go to another nest and make more.
Right. Great. Yeah, and then he goes on a bit more. Why is it only kosher animals? Because that's what you're eating. Only kosher birds it applies to, because that's what you eat anyway. And then at the end, he has also a proof. Right. It says lema'an yitav lach. Right. They'll be good for you. I mean, this whole mitzvah is really just about optimizing your food production at the end of the day. Or it's about tashchis. It's a different application of bal tashchis. And that's, as Nedi said, that's the mitzvah he compares shiloh hakein to. Again, neither of these are going to tie in these two reasons we saw about keeping the species alive or keeping the means of production going. Neither of these are going to figure into the debate that we're going to see in a minute, but these are important reasons, and it could be these are important principles that we get from here, right? People say, well, bal tashchis, okay, it's not technically a fruit tree, so I can just throw stuff out, I can just be wasteful. So part of what we see from here is that it has a broader application, at the very least, if you're destroying things that can produce. Okay, and it looks like we have another question from the internet. Is that a hand? Yeah,
Hi.
Naomi.
Hi, it's Naomi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was thinking that with the bird, isn't it that if you have the chicks, but without the mother bird, like how are they going to survive? Is it in there? Is it like accounted for?
That's an interesting concern. I didn't see anyone raise that, at least not on this handout. But that's I guess a good thing to worry about. And as it goes, if you right, you're sending away the mother bird and taking the chicks, so I guess you don't need to worry about how they're going to fend for themselves, because they won't. And so we avoid that problem with the way the mitzvah goes. But I didn't see that reason given here. There's
right.
Yeah. So well, and again, in a couple of days, we'll talk about if you actually don't need the chicks, sending out the mother, if that's helpful, if that's a mitzvah, if that's a good thing at all. That we can discuss another time. I think there some people may raise that you're concerned, Naomi. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so now we're going to move into the realm where we're concerned more with issues. We're going to moving towards issues of both ethics and mercy, and those are connected, but they're not exactly the same thing. But but what's the reason for sending away the mother bird? Concerns of ethics and mercy, and we'll jump first on the ideas relating to ethics that aren't necessarily too focused on mercy, because we're going to get to the Gemara, and then we'll really blow that all up in a good way. So what are some reasons, again, not the idea of having Rachmanus or Hashem having Rachmanus or us having Rachmanus, but just why would it be wrong in some ethical way to take the eggs from the mother there that we saw in some of these explanations?
It's
your
like,
name?
Sorry,
Pachavalia. Okay.
There's an insipus that it's like kind of a reward to the mother for like being willing to risk her life for her kids. So like for that reason, you shouldn't take her also.
Great. Yeah. So right, there's like a moral reason. The mother earned the right to have you not take her kids based on her own rachmana. So jump to number four, Do you want to read this?
So like it's kind of paying back the mother that the mother could have just like flown away from the person, but she instead wanted to protect her chicks or her eggs, so therefore she should be saved.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I don't think you need to read the rest, but he talks about how sometimes people take greater risks for them, for their family members, than they would even take greater measures to protect their family members than they would even to protect themselves. And the bird does that, and that's good. And the mother bird deserves to be rewarded, not to have to see her children be taken away. That's, you know, it's not really thinking about mercy per se. It's more just the mother deserves it, right? It's shilum gmul harachamim. We believe in the principle of people or non-people, animals who do good get rewarded, and the mother deserves to be rewarded here. So that's the Hamikdavar's explanation here. Very interesting. And what's another ethical non-mercy explanation, or at least partially non-mercy, that comes up in the Mefarshim? Yeah,
that mothers have like this daga over their spawn that like is kind of like the daga of like that human
side. So we'll get there, but I think that's at the end of the day that's about having mercy on them. Tamar?
I have a question on the Hamikdavar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, like, what does it mean that the mother bird is rewarded? Like, generally we see a system of schar ve'onesh for humans in the Torah, but I haven't seen it much, at least with my experience, for animals.
So that's an interesting question. There's actually a bit of a machlokes between various ge'onim and rishonim as to whether animals have free will or not, and relating to that, whether animals have schar ve'onesh, right? Those are closely connected themes, as the Rambam spells out. So I looked into this a bunch of years ago, but I think like Rav Sadia Gaon talks about how by the mabul, the animals sin too, and that's important. I mean, the Medrash says it, but he says that's important because animals have free will, and it would be improper to punish them with the mabul if they hadn't sinned. The Ramban talks about this a few places in his commentary on Sefer Bereishis. So you're right to flag that, and presumably what the Nativ sounds like he's saying here is that there is some idea that if animals have schar ve'onesh, probably he would also say they have free will or something like that, which is interesting. You probably could, if he didn't hold that, probably there's a way of getting out of it. But that's the implication of this source. So yeah, thank you for pointing that out. The other thing I was looking for, which is ethical but not necessarily based on mercy per se, or not fully based on mercy, is the Rashbam, source number two. So it's an interesting take here. I'll just read it quickly. Lo sikacha emal abanim, source number two. He says, "Lefi derech eretz." Right, this is basic decency. Derech eretz, not to take the mother. Leshruvas haminim kfar pirashti b'losavashel gadiba chalev imo. He says, in terms of responding to the heretics, he talked about this in losavashel gadiba chalev imo. I actually looked up on losavashel gadiba. I didn't see where he responded there, so I'm not sure what that was referring to. But he actually does make a similar explanation there. So, in terms of noting which mitzvos are connected, he gives identical reasoning to what he talks about here with Shiloh HaKein when he talks about Lo Savashal Gadiba Chalev Imo, meat, you know, not cooking a mother, not cooking a goat in its mother's milk, Avechein VeOso VeEspino, and not to kill a parent and child animal the same day. What's the reason? Shedome LeAchzarius VeRa'avtanus, because it's similar to, or it seems like, being mean-spirited and overly ravenous or gluttonous to do this. Lakachas v'leshchot l'vasher v'leachol eim ubanim yachad. Take the mother and the children and just eat it all together, right? Like, I'm really hungry. I'll just eat the whole family, right? That's the idea. And there's something lacking there. He does talk about achzarius, which of course is the opposite of mercy. That's part of it, but it's not just that. It's also the sense of not having self-control, right? To say, someone goes to a restaurant and says, I'll take a whole cow, right? I mean, that's not technically the prohibition of osavest, but no, but it's the same idea. You know, there's a certain reasonable portion control, and that's, with a fair amount of leeway, but you go to such an extreme, you say, I'll eat the whole family, there's something wrong there. And here, it sounds like the concern is a bit less about, oh, don't you feel bad for this family? I mean, maybe a little bit of that in the Ahasuerus, but it sounds like he's more focused on just the lack of self-control, right? At least the Ra'av Tanus side of things. So that's, you know, and it's interesting that he compares it both to Osav Espino and Lo Savashu Li Bachalei Vimo, which you don't usually think about that too much. What the reason is for that, it's not fully what we think about, like milk and meat. Oh, we separate, we wait 6 hours. Like, and that's not pshat in the pasuk, certainly, right? That's how Halacha interprets it. But what's the reason for the pshat of the pasuk, not to cook a kid in its mother's milk? There's all sorts of reasons. But this is an interesting one, Rashbam's reason, that, again, it's like, oh, it's perfect. I have the mother, the milk, that can be the sauce, and I have the baby, and that's the meat. And, like, you know, calm down a minute here, right? So that's the Rashbam's approach as well. So any questions on these approaches, these ethical but not primarily mercy-based approaches? Yeah?
So according to the Rashbam, is it somewhat like arbitrary what restrictions you put in place as long as there are some, so it's not like you're going crazy?
It's not clear. He doesn't give a full account, but I think this is just like such an extreme manifestation of it that, right, you know, he says we draw a line here, right? Like, you know, you see a bunch of animals, you're like, okay, here's how I'm going to construct the perfect meal with them. Like, that's just not the right way to go. But yeah, it's not clear exactly where he draw the line. I mean, you have the Ramban on Kedoshim Tiyu, right? And that's also more of a flexible, right? There aren't hard rules. It really depends on either Chazal coming up with rules or just each person figuring out situationally. Yeah, I guess Rashbam would probably agree with that to one degree or other, whether or not that's how he reads Kedoshim Tiyu, but the principle there. Any other questions or thoughts? Okay, so let's jump in now to probably the more famous approaches, the more famous set of approaches to this issue, which all are around the Gemara in Brachos, source number 6. Do we have a volunteer to read this Mishnah and Gemara? Okay, sure. Sure.
Okay, so someone who says, I'll call it Sporing Dir Rachmacha, like towards the nest and bird, you know, Hashem's Rachman should go, and also these Korshmacha, and like for good Hashem's name should be remembered. Modim, you agree?
So Modim here is, I mean, it does mean to agree, but it's referring to like Modim Anachnu Lach in Davening, right? So if you say that word, Modim, twice, right?
Oh, so is the person who's saying this little tefillah the one who's saying Modim, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probably this is a chazan, right? We're not just someone talking randomly. It's like if you have a chazan who's saying these various things, what do we do?
Okay, so you make him quiet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's interesting. Some of these seem more obvious than others. Actually, none of them are immediately obvious, so the Gemara spells that out, right? So do you want to continue?
Yeah, sure. Modim, you have to quiet him because he's making it sound like there are two Rishuyot, like two gods, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right, two powers, and this is not like a theoretical point. Actually, at the time, there were groups of people in Eretz Yisrael known as the Gnostics who really did believe that there were two different powers. So, right, this isn't like a theoretical, like nowadays, if someone did it, you're like, okay, it's like they stuttered or something, right? But back then, there really were people who believed these things, so that's why the Mishnah spells this out. That the person may actually be davening to each, right? I thank you, God of good. I thank you, God of evil, or whatever. And that's obviously, you know, theologically very problematic. So such a person can't you stop them. You stop them from being the chazan. Okay.
So when you say Al Tovis Korshmecha, it's making it sound like you're only praising Hashem for the good, and you can't praise Him for the bad also. And you're supposed to be praising for the bad just like you praise for the good.
Right, and again, this is a similar idea, right? The idea of you're only thanking Hashem for good, but not for bad. So what's the problem with that? The problem with that is there are people who thought there was a God who did good and a God who did evil. And if that's kfira, right? Because you're denying that Hashem has full power. So this is the sort of prayer you would say, right? Hashem, thank you for doing good. Instead of saying Hashem also is borei ra, as Yeshayahu says. Okay, so we're going to second. Yeah, sure.
Also the second modem, then? If the two modems was thinking
two modems.
Why are you thinking that? Like, where's the thing?
You're thanking both gods. You want to acknowledge and give credit to the evil god for what they do. It's a little odd that you would do that, but I think there were people who, yeah.
It's specifying that you're only saying Al-Tob and you're not saying Al-Ra. It's funny that he's only specifying in the details Tob and then he's thinking Ra.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's possible. I don't know my Gnosticism too well, right? But it's possible there are two different approaches, right? One approach that saw there as being two gods and you worship one and reject the other, or another approach that saw, no, you actually have to worship both the god of good and the god of evil in different ways. Yeah, funny story on this before we get to the Khan Sipor part. So I learned this Mishnah with my daughter, and she was, I guess, very taken with it. So she was in school. They were davening outside early this year. So like her group, and there was a different group, and they were davening. They were doing Aleinu, so they did Aleinu. The other class was doing Aleinu too. So some people in her class joined in. So they said, you know, Vanachnu Karu Mishtachavim. She said, stop, because you already said Modim once. I don't want you to say modem again. That would be a Omer modem mishatkin also. So she was very proud to tell me that when she came. I don't know if that technically applies, but it seems like she recalled the Mishnah, so that's good. I try, you know, keep the Mishnah application to within reason if possible. But I don't know if her first grade friends were too upset at the time. So, okay. But yeah, so why don't you keep reading. With now, as we tie it into our case of Khan Sipor.
All right. Hello, Khan Sipor Yirachumacha, my time up. So I guess what's the problem with Al Khan Sipor Yirachumacha?
Right, and why is the Gemara asking what's the problem? What would you think if you didn't see this Mishnah? What would you have thought?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it sounds great. Hashem has mercy on the birds. That's so nice. Hashem should have mercy on us too. That's so wonderful. Right. What's the problem? Okay. What does that mean?
Humans? Or no, just animals and living beings.
Yeah, so what sort of kinna, what sort of jealousy is this going to create?
Well, later on, then, Ravi said it, but someone just said, you can't compare, you know, the hashkacha over animals towards the hashkacha over humans.
Okay, so that's a philosophical answer. That's one way of reading it. The most pasha way, well, it's good you brought that up. We'll get to that. I think I'm eerie. But the most simple explanation is what? It was Rashi? Shematil Kinna, it's the fifth one.
So, like, you'll say, like, oh, Hashem is having compassion over these animals, but not over other Brios.
Yeah, what's so special about the birds, right? If there's a dog or a cat who hears the davening, they're going to be offended, right? I mean, I don't mean that literally, but it sounds like you're giving too much credit to the way Hashem treats birds. Hashem treats all of creations equally. Why so much credit to the birds, right? There's also the Meiri's a philosophical approach, but this is the more pashut. Why give so much? Right? Why so much focus on the birds? What about other animals? So fine, that's problem number one. And what's the implication? Does Hashem indeed have mercy on the birds at the end of the day?
Not really. He allows us to eat them. So.
Okay, so. That's true. Well, I mean, and I think Rambam and others say that. But within this answer, though, is what's this answer objecting to? Right, like I asked you, I said, if you hadn't seen this Mishnah, what would you think? You're saying, sure, Hashem has mercy, that's great. Right? Is this answer rejecting that presupposition?
Yes, I would say yes.
Oh, wow, okay. We have a yes from Bina, so let's hear, why are we rejecting that presupposition here in our first answer?
Because it's saying that it's not really mercy, it's actually not connected to mercy, because if it was mercy, then it would be for all the species. That can't be the reason, because then we would have to send away the goats, you know, the mother goats, unshefting the goat, and like, what about like every other animal that we shecht?
Okay, so that is, I think that can work. You could read it like that, right? If it were about mercy, it should apply equally, and since it doesn't apply equally, it's not about mercy, it must be about something else. So that's one way of reading this. I think the other way of reading it, which it seems like the Rambam took, is that the Rambam in the Moreh, I should specify, is that we're not rejecting that basic assumption that this mitzvah is about mercy. we just don't like the specifying of the bird part of it, right? You shouldn't specify birds. If you would say something like, al kol ha-behemos yagiu rachamecha, or something like that, that would be great, right? It's just, why are you specifying one animal and not another? You're pitting them against each other. You're being matel kino, you're making them jealous among the different creations. I think that's the more straightforward reason, although I guess someone who likes answer number two, that we're going to see in a second, this would be pulling answer number one closer to number two. You know, it can work. But I think we should keep open at least the reading that we're not rejecting our assumption. The only problem is that you specified the birds. The idea that Hashem has mercy, and that's the reason for Shiloh HaKein, is totally true. It's just, you know, you don't want to rub it in the faces of the other animals. Okay, keep reading.
And because you are making it sound like the reason Hashem's doing this is because of Rachman, but rather it's just a gzera, it's a decree.
Okay, and so we are setting up this contrast, right? Shiloh HaKein is not because of Rachamim. It's not because Hashem has mercy on the animals. It's rather because it's a gzera. What exactly is a gzera?
Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know, I feel like it could be defined, you know, differently in different cases, but I thought at first that it was just something that doesn't have a tam mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no reason at all. You know, it's sort of arbitrary why this mitzvah is this way. It's not because of mercy. What does Rashi say? Rashi Midosav.
Just to accumulate mitzvah for us and show that where his servants.
Yeah, right. It's if someone's the master, they tell the slave what to do, and the slave listens. Right. That's sort of the mashal here. Hashem is our master. Hashem can make up whatever he wants, totally arbitrary, and we'd have to do it. And that's the goal of this mitzvah, and maybe all other mitzvahs. Right. That's what Rashi sounds like. Midosav mitzvosav. The issue is, in general, you're looking at mitzvahs as things that have reasons, right? You're doing this mitzvah because it's supposed to accomplish something. No, the thing it's supposed to accomplish is nothing specific. It's the fact that you're listening to Hashem's instructions. That's the point of a mitzvah. It's the gzera factor, the fact that Hashem commands it. And if you look, what does Rashi sort of connects this mitzvah to? Dvarim sheish l'satan l'nachrim l'hashiv alayim. Right, matters that either the satan, evil inclination, or non-Jews might respond, might say, this makes no sense. This is usually in the context. This is usually raised in the context of chukim, right? That's usually the formulation we find in Midrashim and Gemara about chukim. So Rashi compares here Shiloh HaKein to a chok, right? We had some people compare it to Osav Espino, to Bal Tashchis, to Lo Savashli Machlevi. Rashi here, by using that formulation, says that Shiloh HaKein is the equivalent of a chok, because no mitzvahs have reasons. It might look like it has a reason, but it never really has a reason. And that's the problem with saying Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha. Okay, finish up the Gemara, and then we'll take some questions.
Yeah, sure. Kahu Dinafi Kano Diraba Ba'amar. So someone came up to Rabba and said, Atachas Al Kan Tzipor, Atachas Racham Eleni. So you had compassion over Kan Tzipor, so you should have compassion over us.
And who is this person talking to? Yeah, so nachis means to go down. So it's like yorid lifnei ateva. So he, right, this is the person who was the chazan, and this is his, you know, back in the olden days when people would remix their Shmoneh Esreis a little bit. So this is what he said, right, atachas al kan tzipor, atachus v'rachem aleinu, right, which is probably the fuller version of what our mission is talking about, right, just to spell out a bit more. You had mercy on the bird's nest, you should have mercy on us as well. Okay, so what did Rabba, who was there, do? Right, this is so nice. This is so wonderful.
Amar Le'Avai, the Hav Mishach can't otzo Tanan. But like, didn't it teach us in a Mishnah to quiet him? Rabba Nami lechdude Le'Avai v'Nevai, and Rabba also said.
Or Rabba also actually agreed with Abaye. This is the Gemara talking now, right? The stuff. Rabba actually agreed with Abaye, but what was he doing?
Doing this to sharpen.
Yeah, to sharpen Abaye. Right, it was a setup. Right? It was like, oh, this is so nice, Abaye, right? And Abaye passed the test and said, no, this is terrible. We have to shut it down. Okay, so that's an interesting ending to the Gemara there, but it reinforces the Mishnah, right? We certainly paskin, if someone gets up in shul and says, "Al kansi bar yigir rachamecha," you shut them down, whatever the reason is, right? You can give, there's two different reasons, but either way, this is how we paskin. Okay, so this would seem to be bad news for the reason we didn't really discuss yet, but the reason, which I think if you ask the average person on the street, they would, if they didn't know this Gemara, what they would tell you is the reason for Shiloh HaKein, right? It's not nice to send to take the babies when the mother's there, right? You're torturing the mother. That's terrible. That's why you shouldn't do it. You should be a merciful person. Hashem should be merciful and not allow that. Right? That I think is the sort of the wakes him up in the middle of the night answer you get, and that's our mission says you should not say that, right? You shouldn't say Al kansi por yagiu rachamecha. And maybe the first answer, you know, maybe you can still maintain that, but the second answer seems to totally reject that idea, right? That they're not. It's not. You know, it's xeros. It's not. It's not rachamim. Hashem's mitzvos are not merciful. So this is this is a little tricky. And just to make the problem even greater, source number 8, Dvarim Rabba. What does it say there? Talks a medrash on Kikari Kan Tzipor. Talks about bris for a while. Okay, why does a baby boy gets a bris at 8 days? Because before 8 days, it's not strong enough, right? So you wait until it gets 8 days old. It's stronger, more resilient. Okay, and similarly, just like Hashem has mercy in this way on humans, same for animals. Same thing for animals. Not a bris, but being brought as a karban only on day 8, when I guess they're better able to handle it. They won't recover because they're getting shechted. But at least it's less, you know, less painful, less traumatic at that point. And also the espino as well, right? Don't kill the parent, the mother, and the child. Shor or seh. Not just animals, but birds too. Hashem has mercy. That's the end of the piece, right? Introducing the pasuk. So it seems pretty clear that what's the reason for Shiloh HaKein? Hashem has mercy on the animals. It says it very explicitly in this medrash. So we have a problem. We have a stira. We have a contradiction within Chazal. Right now, Dvarim Rabba happens to be among the later midrashim within Medrash Rabba, but presumably it's coming from it was redacted later or whatever, but it comes from early Medrash. It seems to be a real problem here, and how do we resolve this? So there's a few different, is that a hand? No. Before we go forward into the resolutions, any questions, any thoughts on what we have? Yeah?
I have a clarification question.
Sure.
So according to the opinion that says, you know, that kind of seems to be implying it's a chok, is that supposed to, firstly, are they saying, you know, definitively, this is a chok? And, or is it kind of like an outlook on the sort of general, or is this some sort of, you know, something that's like a chok, but isn't fully a chok? I guess I'm just wondering what exactly.
Yeah, I think the second thing, right, that it's talking about mitzvahs in general. Basically, all mitzvahs are chokim, in some sense. We can't really understand any mitzvah, and to the extent we understand it, that's not why it was given.
Yeah.
It was given because Hashem commanded it. That's why. It doesn't, you know, there's no, you can't really reconstruct the reason. And, of course, that leads to the question, okay, so why do we have a distinction between chukim and mishpatim, or why do we try to understand some of the reasons? This Gemara is a very strong argument that you shouldn't do that, or you should minimize that as much as possible, right? The whole question about going into tamei mitzvos is not uncontroversial. I mean, this is one of the touch points of that debate is from this Gemara, and this Rashi especially, saying all mitzvos, right? You're making Hashem's midos, meaning you're making Hashem's mitzvos rachamim. You're assuming Hashem's mitzvos are for reasons of having mercy or whatever other reason, and that's not why. They're commanded for us to keep them, right? For us out of a sense of obedience. Okay. So.
I think there's a question on Zoom.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Sarah or Sarah.
Hi. Yeah, Sarah. Thank you. Yeah, I'm wondering, like, I still don't understand the first reason, fundamentally. There are a lot of times where we thank God for, like, particular things that he does, and, like, if it doesn't come at the exclusion of anything else that he may or may not do, why are we being so, like, repulsed in, like, the implications or what logically may follow from, like, the tefillah? It's just a tefillah, like.
So, I mean, I think that would be the answer, meaning as soon as you're enshrining it in, as part of Shemoneh Esrei, as part of davening, it becomes more significant. So, of course, if you're just saying, you know, thank you, or you have a particular reason, that's one thing. But for, you know, the person davening is not a bird. So they're going out of their way and saying, out of all things, the bird is the reason for thanking you. Why? Why are you leaving out any all the other good things that Hashem does? And and that's the problem. But yeah, I agree. This is not usually the sort of thing we're super worried about. It is a bit odd, but I think that's the charitable reconstruction of it. Okay. Other questions or comments or thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah, also just to clarify, Message Works according to the first three sentences.
That's one resolution, right? It doesn't explicitly say that, right? But given that the Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah seems to strongly imply that, or it actually says straight out that Shiluch Kein is because of Hashem's Rachamim, that could fit with answer number one. Yeah. So that's, yeah, one of the easiest ways of getting out of answer number two in the Gemara is to reject it, as we'll see.
And then also, does it make a difference if it's specifically in Tefillah versus just saying it not?
It seems like that, right? So that's part of the question here. We'll talk about that a bit in a minute. But presumably it's only really bad in Tefillah, right, where you get shut down. Right? If someone's just talking like offhand, they're like, oh, Hashem helped the birds, like that's, you know, that may be less problematic. But it could be that the opinion is wrong, right? If you really think there's something special about birds, or you think that there's something about Hashem having rachamim, that's problematic, that would always be problematic. Maybe it's worse, though, if you do it as part of davening.
I think there's more questions.
More questions. Okay. Let's see. We have, I don't know who was first, but we'll go with Rina first and then Naomi. And then Jordana. Wow. Lots of hands. Yeah.
Just a clarification question. I'm not fully certain I understood the connection between Gnosticism and the whole thing in Source 6, the Gemara and Brachot about how there's a person that believes both in Hashem and also in some evil force, and how that connects to this whole topic.
That was sort of a throwaway point, but all I was saying is this wasn't like a theoretical problem, right? If someone in shul today said modim modim, you wouldn't assume that they believed in two gods. At the time, there were people who actually believed in two different gods, a good god and an evil god. So a lot of these things that the Mishnah spells out that we should be, you know, that we should shut down if someone starts saying was there were actually people who believed these things who were saying them. That's all I was pointing out. I don't think it changes the halakha at all. It just sort of helps contextualize why there's such a worry about that. Okay, and now Naomi.
The point that the mitzvot are really just gezeirot, that there's no logical reasoning, it sounds like a little bit troubling to me, because, I mean, well, we always learn that there's some mitzvot that are like paragamah, but many, many mitzvot, just make sense to us, and we, their whole appeal is the reasoning.
Yep, that is one of the challenges of this opinion, right? If you go, if you take this to its extreme and say that the whole Torah is just zeros, so then what about all the things that seem to be reasons? Okay, there may be a more nuanced way of putting it. I'm trying to formulate it more starkly, but Rashi really sounds like that. And actually, it's consistent with some Rashis elsewhere throughout Shas, where you say, you know, the Gemara says, mitzvos lav lehanos nidnu. Mitzvos aren't meant to be for benefit, and Rashi always says, ela le'ol al tzavareinu. Mitzvos are meant to be a yoke on our shoulders. It's supposed to be a weight on us. Like it's work. It's not shouldn't be for enjoyment. So you can, especially in Rashi, you can find the sources and put this together as an extreme idea that really there's never a reason. And to the extent there's, we give reasons or we understand it, we don't really understand it. It's just a facade or something that's helpful in some way. But yeah, it does have the problems that you're noting that we do. Chazal talk about the difference between chukim and mishpatim, and there's good reason to think that the Torah has reasons behind it. It's sort of there's like a much larger version of this question, which is, I'm going to give the 60-second version, but there's a much longer version, which is Hashem perfect? Is Hashem totally corresponding with truth? So on the one hand, you want to say, yes, of course, right? Everything Hashem does is perfect and totally true. But then at a certain point, you take a step back and like, okay, well, are we talking about Hashem now, or are we talking about this concept of truth and this concept of perfection? Meaning, Hashem is also a being who does things. Unless you agree with Aristotle that somehow the idea of perfection is what God is, and God isn't really anything beyond that. Right? So it's a bit of a catch-22. If you make Hashem too perfect, there's not much room left for Hashem as a being who does things, other than things that are just objectively perfect and necessary of their own perfection. And more to talk about, but it comes up in talking about the creation of the world, where the Rambam navigates between different views. According to the Rambam there, it's precisely one of the proofs to the fact that Hashem created the world is the fact that the world is arbitrary, or the universe is arbitrary. Like the planets aren't perfectly aligned, or whatever, the stars aren't perfectly aligned, or the sizes are sort of arbitrary. And that arbitrariness actually is proof to Hashem, because if the world were somehow created by perfection, the idea of perfection and necessity, then it would be perfect. And it's not, and that shows, that shows Hashem's role in it. So anyway, that's more of a discussion for another time, but it ties into that issue. Jordana, and then we'll move forward. Yeah.
First of all, thank you for having me. I wanted to add, I know that it was like touched a little bit on before, but I'm curious to hear more as to, or if the Mefarshim addressed more why for other animals we don't send the mother away, that there isn't the same outright commandment to do that. And I was curious if the Emek HaTzavar, like, I was just like a little, this is the thought that came up when I was reading this comment, that saying the reason, like, the mother bird is, like, she's rewarded because she has a nature to protect her young, and so that's why we send her away. And I'm wondering, like, is the implication that other animals don't have that? Is that why we don't do shiva for being with her?
Right. Okay, so it's a fair question. I mean, the truth is, most kosher animals are included, right? So all kosher birds from this, shor and seh have oso vespino, and that's basically all domesticated kosher animals. I guess, what about, you're right, seh includes a's, right? So I guess you have the rams, maybe is the one. But we basically cover just about all domesticated animals and birds. So I think that's the answer. And then you can ask why there are technical differences between Oso Vespino and Shiloh HaKain in terms of the process, and the Rambam mentions that, and he says, you know, it's not exactly the same, but it's all focusing on the same goal, and there's a bit of a low plug, you know, somehow not every case exactly correlates to the problem, but we sort of have some blanket rules. But yeah, it's not, you know, no legal system is always going to perfectly capture every case 100%. The idea is this is a reasonable setup. I assume the reason why we don't do Shiluach ha'aim with a shor or a seh, with animals, because it wouldn't work. Right? Shoo away the ox, like, or the cow. I mean, you tried shooing away cows before, and it's probably not going to work so well. That may be part of it, why that's not an option there. For birds, it's, you know, you just shoo it away. And but yeah, I think the same, according to the people who say that Oso Vespino and Shiluach ha'aim are the same idea, that's basically the point. It applies to all kosher animals, at least the domesticated ones. Okay. So, yeah, sure. So let's jump in now to the Rambam and how he tries to resolve this. And it'll be interesting because the Rambam himself keeps the contradiction going a little bit. So the Rambam, in his commentaries on the two Mishnayos, actually it appears both in Brachos and in Megillah, the Rambam has slightly different things in the two places. But in source number 9, on Brachos, he says, Inyan amara al kansipor yirachamecha, right, about this thing the Mishnah says, Al Kansipor, Hushi Yomar, this is where someone would say, Kishem Shechasta Al Kansipor, just like you, Hashem, had mercy on the bird's nest. And you said, don't take the mother while the children are there. Kach Chus Aleinu. So too, you should have mercy on us. Sheh Omer Kein Meshakin, so whoever says this, we silence them. Fishu Omer, Shetam Mitzvah Biglal Rachme Kanush Baruch Hu Ala Of, he says the reason is Hashem's mercy on the bird. The Ein Okein, this is not true. Levisha Ilu Hayadarach Rachamim, Lohaya Matir Ashkita Klal. I think someone mentioned this before, right? If Hashem really had mercy on animals, it would be prohibited to eat animals. Hashem would be vegetarian, or it would make us be vegetarian, right? If it were really mercy on the animals. Ella, he mitzvah shimis, she'en latam. And probably some of you heard the difference between mitzvos shimios and mitzvos sichlios, right? Mitzvos shimios are from the Shema. You have to hear the mitzvah to understand it, right? Mitzvos sichlios, you just need to think about them. If you contemplate, you think long enough, you'll come up with those mitzvos, like don't steal, don't murder. But this is a mitzvah shimis. It doesn't really have a reason, right? The idea that, well, you can eat animals, you can kill animals for food, but you should send away the mother bird. You know, that's not you couldn't arrive at that through logic alone. You need the Torah to tell you. That's not the same as saying it's a chok, right? But it is saying it's not it's not arrivable at by reason. So that's point number one. Well, Rambam is saying two different things here, really. Number one is that if you think it's rachamim, it's not really consistent. There wouldn't be consistent divine mercy because you're allowed to eat animals. And then he says it's ein la ta'am. He does say ein la ta'am. So again, I don't think this is the same as saying it's a chok, but it's moving in that direction. It sounds a lot like Rashi, right? That this is a mitzvah to listen to Hashem. It's gzeros in the sense that there's no reason. That's what the Rambam says here. And he says, jumping to source number 10, the halfway through the second line, it's not because of divine mercy or divine compassion. Right here he takes gzera to be gzera sakasav. It's divine dictate that the Torah says to do it. That's why you should do it. But these two Rambam seem to adopt the second reason in the Gemara, right? Not that it's matakin and masav reishis, but rather the reason that it's gzeros. Right here he says gzeros akasav, and it's translated from Arabic, but presumably, you know, cognate word. And in the first place, he says there's no reason. Presumably, those are working with the second answer in the Gemara. And similarly, source 11, when the Rambam paskins this halach lemaisa. Right, again, if you're ever in shul and this happens, you know the Rambam, this will be very useful. Misha amar betachanun and misha richem al kan tzibor. Shalikach em al banim, alu shalishchot osov, espino, biyom echad, yirachem aleinu. Right, and notice, well, so, yes, so whoever says when they're in their petitions, in davening, whoever, meaning Hashem, who had mercy on the bird's nest, not to take the mother with the children there, or not to slaughter the parent and child on the same day, should have mercy on us. Now notice he throws in Osov Espino, which is pretty clear he's going against the Matzal Kinev Masav Rashis reason, right? It's not like, oh, why spell out the birds? Even if you say, you know, birds and other animals, you give a whole general spiel, that's still bad, because that still won't help, because the issue is number two. The issue is that you're making it into Rachman when it's Gzeros, as he spells out here. Mipnesha mitzvos elu Gzeros hakasuvhein. They're a divine dictate. Ve'ein on rachamim. They're not based on mercy. She'ilu hayim pnei rachamim lo yamatu lanu l'shchita kol ikar. Then we wouldn't be able to shecht animals at all. And then he talks about other issues. Right? So the Rambam's consistent here between Perish Mishnayos and Mishnah Torah. But he's inconsistent if we jump ahead to 13 and look at Mor Nevuchim, the philosophical work. So the Rambam says, and this is Chelek Gimel, where he talks about a lot of the reasons for a lot of the mitzvos, and often has... I guess we could call deflationary explanations, right? Where, sort of historical reasons or less into building up the inherent reasons for a mitzvah often. But this is a case where he actually does build up the inherent reason. And he says, V'chein asar lishchot osov espino biyom echad. Okay, can't kill parent and child on the same day. Lishamer l'harchik lishchot mishneyem haben le'eni ha'em. The goal here is not for the mother not to see the death of her son. Why? This is major tzar balei chayim. Right, what's the source for the mitzvah of tzar balei chayim? Yeah, Nettie?
I mean, the Gemara just tries to give a lot of sources, but one of them is the idea of that animal taking off the package from your enemy's animal.
Yeah, that's probably the best Gemara sourced one, right? But the truth is there's no great source. I mean, that's probably the closest thing. But I think Rav Asher Weiss in one of his farm has 10 different Sukkim that are possibly the source. This is one of them, by the way. This Rambam interpreting Osov Espino may be the source for Tzar Balei Chaim, right? Because you shouldn't kill the child in front of the mother. That makes the mother suffer. That's Tzar Balei Chaim. You shouldn't do it. So this may be the source for Tzar Balei Chaim if it's not one of the other sources. Okay. Ein hefresh bein tzara adam alav v'tzara shar balei chaim. Right. Even though the Rambam generally likes distinguishing between humans and animals, right? Humans have intelligence, we're much better. But in terms of this, in terms of pain, we're the same as animals, right? The there's an equivalent pain a human mother feels for their child as an animal mother feels for their child. Ki avas ha'em v'rachameh ala vlad, eno nimshach achar ha'seichel, rak achar po'al ha'koach ha'medameh, ha'nimtza b'rov ba'al ha'chaim, k'mo she'nimtza be'adam. Right? The function of pain at the loss of a child is not a function of intellect, it's a function of... He calls it the power of imagination, but presumably it just means your natural capacity for mercy. V'haya zeh hadin miyuchad b'shor v'seh. Why do we spell out shor and seh? This responds to one of the questions that was asked before. Rebnei she'im mutar lanu achilasam min ha'baisos Hanag le'achlam, for all domestic, right, baisos, I mean bais, from the house, for all domestic animals that we can eat, these are them, right, shor and seh. V'hem asher takir mehem ha'emes avlad. These are also the ones where the mother will recognize the child. V'zeh atam gam kein v'shiluach ha'kein. Same reason for sending away the mother bird. Ki ha'beitzim asher shachva ha'em aleim v'afrochim ha'tzrichim le'imam ala rov, enam ru'im la'achila. Now he throws in another piece, right, that if you send away, if the mother's sitting on the eggs or chicks, those probably aren't terribly good anyway. I don't know, I've never tried it. But right, they're not going to get quality stuff, quality eggs or chicken for mothers on them. But if you send the mother away, she won't see it. So right, it's less painful than seeing the children taken away right in front of you. The truth is, usually you're probably best off leaving everything, right? Why do you need to take any of it, right? The idea of, well, I'll send away the mother bird, take the eggs, and get a mitzvah, right? And we'll talk about that in a couple of days. You're usually better off leaving it all there, right? The mother's certainly happier. Where you're going to take is not really edible anyway. The Torah is concerned with the mother bird or the mother animal having these feelings. The Torah definitely is concerned with people having these feelings. Now, this line the Rambam just said is exactly the thing that the Rambam in Mishnah Torah says you should not say in davening. That sounds like a stira. How does the Rambam deal with the Gemara? V'lo taksha alai be'amram al kan tzibur yirachamecha. Don't bother me with the Gemara. Don't ask that question. Ki hu lefi achas mishtei adeos asher zicharnum. There's two different reasons in that Gemara. Das mishechoshev she'en atam l'Torah el ratzon levad. One reason is that the Torah is only ratzon. Right here it's a different formulation. Not that it's all gzeres, it's all ratzon. Which, like sort of a debate among different Islamic philosophers. The Kalam, the Mutakalim, believe that everything Hashem did was just an act of Hashem's will. And so I think that's what the Rambam is sort of getting at here indirectly. That everything, the Rambam didn't fully embrace that view. That everything is Hashem's will. So that's one answer. Everything's all Xeros, meaning everything's all Hashem's will. V'anachnu nimshachnu achar das hasheni. But we reject that answer. We paskin like the other answer, which is actually mentioned first in the Gemara, of Matal kinabim asabracious. Right, that's the problem. So in davening, to really spell out only the birds, that's a problem. The basic principle that Hashem has mercy on animals, and therefore we hope Hashem has mercy on us, that's true. That's actually the reason for the mitzvah, as the Rambam says here and spells it out. So we have a steer between the Rambams, right? The Rambam, it sounds like the Rambam Mishnah Torah says the reason is because it's all gzeros. And the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says, no, it's not because it's all gzeros, it's because the other reason. He doesn't even mention it. It sounds like the Rambam doesn't think that's much of a reason, right? You shouldn't say it in davening. That's not really, okay, but it doesn't really affect how we think about this mitzvah too much. The real reason for the mitzvah is Hashem's rachamim. So how do we resolve the stira in Rambams? Any suggestions? We saw one of the Source 12 talked about it. Anyone want to share that? Yeah, Nettie?
I think just like understanding like the different, like, I guess, like purposes of the Sfar. And like, in the Mishnah Torah, we talk about like la halacha. So like la halacha, we do paskin that like you shouldn't like base like halacha on like reason of mitzvah. So you shouldn't like, we don't know the common behind this both. But like in Mor Nevuchim, he does think that it's like mutter to like be dorish anyways, even if it's not going to have a long implication. So like in Mor Nevuchim, when he's like giving those reasons, then he like says a reason basically. And he thinks that the reason is wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think there's sort of two different ways of saying that pull in two different directions. But right, I think the easiest way of saying this, or probably the best way of saying this, is to say there's a difference between Mishnah Torah and Mor Nevuchim. Mishnah Torah is paskening halacha. Certainly, if someone gets up in shul and says that, you shut them down. That's what the Gemara says. The reasoning behind that, now here's the thing, the Rambam didn't need to go in the direction of saying it's because they're gzeros. So you're still going to be left with a bit of a problem. But you might say that that's the simplest reason that comes out of the Gemara. So the Rambam paskens like Pashtus in the Gemara, if that's how he read the Gemara, but there's still room to philosophize, right? There's still room to, as the Rambam does in the Moreh, to try to understand the reasons for the mitzvos. So I think there's two different ways of taking that distinction. You can say, well, really, you know, what really matters is the halacha, is Mishnah Torah, and that's how the Rambam paskens, and then, you know, Mor Nevuchim, that's, you know, it's like a kiruv sefer. So some, you know, if you read the introduction, it's to some student who, you know, he wants to understand things, and the Rambam on the side, you know, other than being a world-class halachist, was also a world-class Kiruv rabbi or something like that, right? That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is to say, well, you know, the Rambam's sort of bound by the halacha, meaning you need a, right, the Rambam will pass like the halacha, like the Gemara, he always will do that. And, you know, he maybe felt that the sugya forced him to go in a certain direction as the straightforward explanation. But the Rambam's not really posking the reason. The Rambam's giving probably the most likely reason from the Gemara. What the Rambam himself actually believed, being, you know, not a Kiruv teacher, but a philosopher, what the Rambam himself really believed is his view in the Moreh, which is that it's because of Rachamim, because Hashem is merciful. And you know, that's his real view. And you can't really, I saw one article, someone said, according, this is controversial, but, you know, maybe the Rambam thought you can't paskin Hashkafa. And this is controversial. I'm not endorsing this view, but this is a possible view. You don't paskin Hashkafa. So what you paskin is the halacha, mishakin also. You stop the person who says that. The reason behind it, see, the Rambam can say one thing here, one thing there. Probably the more developed philosophical reason is what the Rambam actually believed. But that's really a different issue entirely. Right, so those are, I think, two different ways of saying that distinction in the Rambam. And it's interesting that the Rambam in the Moreh really drew a lot of fire, drew a lot of attention from the Ramban, from others. It seems like if you looked at how most Rishonim treated the Rambam, they took the Moreh's view as the Rambam's real view, or at least the one they engaged with. Maybe because it was a bit more controversial, because it seems a bit at odds with the Gemara, but maybe they just thought that was his actual view. So anyway, I'm not weighing in on that. I think you can pull the Rambam in either direction, but it's helpful to think about the distinction there. Okay, we have only a few more minutes, but if people have pressing questions, we can take them for a minute or two now. If not, we'll move forward. Okay, so so we have the Rambam, and the Ramban has a very important response to the Rambam. Again, just to summarize, the Rambam, on the one hand, he seems to really say in the Moreh that the reason for Shiloh Kain is because it's Rachamim, and yet in Mishnah Torah, he really, and Pirush Mishnayos, he really seems to say that the reason is that it's Gzeros, meaning there's no real reason, just do it. So the Ramban has an interesting response to the Rambam, and he wants to, in some ways, have his cake and eat it too. Meaning he wants this to be a mitzvah relating to rachamim, to mercy. But he doesn't want to run afoul of the Gemara in Brachos that says, Amor akansi bar yiru rachamecha meshakin oso. And because, right, you're making Hashem's rules into rachamim when they're really Gzeros. So what does the Ramban say? Does someone want to give the one-liner of the Ramban outside? Maybe someone we haven't heard from. What's the Ramban's resolution to navigate between the the ethical explanation and the Gemara? Yeah.
I think maybe that it's like you could have it both ways. You know, like you could say that mitzvahs aren't good zeros because it kind of comes from the fact that Hashem is our king, and by definition, being a king, he gives decrees. And that's fine, but it doesn't change the fact that the reason behind the mitzvah is rachamim.
Rachamim for who?
For us. Meaning
for us.
We should be metakin our mido, so to speak.
Okay, great. Yeah. So I think the Ramban does a couple of things. One is to reinterpret what gzeros means, right? We saw Rashi and the Ramban both seem to think gzera means no reason. Gzeras hakasav, no reason at all. It's like a chok. The Ramban redefines. Where is this line? Redefines gzera as meaning it does mean it's binding on us. That's true. That doesn't mean it can't also have a reason. So that's move number one that the Ramban makes in terms of reading the Gemara, and that's pretty revolutionary. And then the other move the Ramban makes is to say when we're talking about rachamim, it's not about Hashem's rachamim, right? Hashem, we don't know about Hashem's rachamim. That's not the point of this mitzvah. It's for us. So as he says, look at the beginning, and he repeats it a couple times, different places. But source 14 here, right? He mentions Oso Vespino, like others. He says, "Ki atam b'shnehem levilti heyos lanu lev achzari v'lo nerachem." The mitzvah is meant for us to not have a coarse heart, and for us to not have mercy. And then he throws it out there the other option. Osh lo yatir akasav lasus hashchasav la'akor amin. He also mentions the not destroying the species reason, but then he quotes the Rambam. Quotes the Rambam and says it's about Hashem having mercy, and he says v'yoser nachon. This is the fifth line of the second paragraph. V'yoser nachon b'avor shelo nisachzar. It's not for Hashem to have mercy; it's for us to have mercy. It's educational, right? The mitzvah is a piulah chinuchit, so to speak, right? It's supposed to teach us to have mercy and to not be harsh towards the animal, and that's why it's fine to say al kansipor. That's why not saying Al Kansipor is not a problem, right? Because that's saying Hashem, Al Kansipor Yagir Rachamecha, Hashem, you have mercy on the sea. But that's not what this mitzvah is about. It's about us having mercy. Tam hamini alulamed osanu midas harachamim. Right. The purpose of this prohibition is to teach us of midas harachmanus, to teach us to be merciful. B'shalonis achzar. And then he spells out that this is what it means that it's a gzeira, meaning it's a gzeira decreed at us. We need to keep it, and it will actually help us. It will make us better people in the end. Okay, we're running low on time. I think we're going to skip the Meiri, even though there's some cool stuff there, including what was mentioned before, that Mazal Kinev Masa Bracious is about the idea that animals have Bechira Chafshit, Hashgacha Pratis, have divine providence over each individual instead of over the whole species, which would be a problem because only humans have that special level, maybe only some humans, in the Rambam's view. Fine. Some other cool things is the Yerushalmi. Actually, yeah, we'll quickly mention the Yerushalmi. If you look in the Yerushalmi is basically a direct rejection of the Ramban. It's pretty interesting how that plays out. But the Yerushalmi says, it says the reason is, where's the second reason in the Yerushalmi? V'amru ot sham, halin hametargimin, base Yisrael, kamada ana rachman bishmaya, kain tahavon rachmanin be'ara. Right, Hashem, if you translate the pasuk as saying, Beis Yisrael, Jews, just like I, Hashem, am merciful in heaven, you should be merciful be'ara on earth. V'torasa orechela yasa v'yasbira lo sichasun b'yoma achad. And don't, osav espino, right, don't shecht the mother and child on the same day. Love din tivos, they're not doing good, they're doing bad, that's wrong. Shehein osim midos v'shakosh baruch hu rachamim, because they're making Hashem's ways into mercy. So it's hard to fit the Ramban with that because it's actually focusing on people. It's saying you should be merciful, and the Yerushalmi still rejects that. I guess the Ramban could still object to the part where it says Hashem is merciful, but you know it has the Ramban's basic conclusion in there, and still rejects it. So that may be a bit of a problem for the Ramban. But let's finish up with the Chinuch and the Zohar. There's no good shir ends without the Zohar. That's not true. But this topic happens to have a very important Zohar. So, the Chinuch also does some interesting things here. He also does a bit of reinterpreting what the Gemara means by Gzeros. In the sense, he starts off by saying, Mishar Shem Mitzvah, La Seis Elibeinu, we need to internalize, Shashgachas HaKel Baruch Hu Al Briyosa B'min HaAdam Bifrat, Hashem has special providence on every individual human person. For animals, Hashem has providence over the species. Hashem will make sure that every animal species is taken care of, and every human being as an individual person is taken care of. Hashem makes sure that the species continues. Won't allow a species to disappear. Jumping ahead now, so he quotes the Gemara, right? And he quotes Mipnei She'osa Midos Hashem Baruch Hu Rachem Ve'inin Al Gzeros, third line on page 6. And so now he says, so what do you do with the Gemara? Right? He says Ve'ena Inyan Lomar She'ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mirachem Chalila. That Gemara doesn't mean that Hashem is not merciful. Even the line of the Gemara that says you're making the mitzvot into rachem, but they're really Gzeros. That doesn't mean Hashem is not merciful. What does it mean? Shereihu Nikar Rachem. Hashem is called merciful. V'amar Zichron LeVracha Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Rachem Avata Hei Mirachem. Aval kavanasam lomar. What does that gemara mean? She'ei minas harachmanus bo chalila kmo b'nei adam. Hashem's mercy is different than human mercy. In what way? Sharachmanus b'hem muchrach b'tivam she'sam b'hem HaKadosh Baruch Hu abori baruch hu. Right? We are humans are merciful. That's an emotion. That's an innate trait. We're just born with a certain degree of mercy. Right? Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aval harachmanus elav me'cheftza ha'pashut she'chiv ha'chachmasa l'rachem b'nei she'i midah tova. Hashem is not merciful because of Hashem's brain chemistry, right? Hashem, that's like part of his nature. That's not why Hashem is merciful. Hashem is merciful because in Hashem's wisdom, he decided to have this positive trait, right? You can, is mercy an emotion or is it an intellectual position? Is basically the distinction he's making here, right? We're merciful because that's our nature. Hashem's merciful because Hashem decided to be merciful. Same thing for everything good coming from Hashem. It's not like Hashem's psychological nature. So that's one important difference between Hashem's mercy and human mercy. And the other point is that it's not muchrach. It's not, Hashem is not forced to be merciful. Hashem chooses to be merciful. right? Whereas humans, it's some element of human nature that you're forced to be merciful. So the point is, human mercy and divine mercy are distinct. So to say Hashem is, to say Al Kanti Bergir Rachamecha, presumably you think about Rachamim the same, right? You're talking about mercy just like human mercy, and you're not appreciating that divine mercy is actually different. That's the problem. But is Hashem merciful? Of course. Of course Hashem is merciful. Is that the reason for Shinoch again? Yes. Right, again, the Chinuch, as he usually does, following the Rambam in the Moreh, but actually finding a way to sneak in the Gemara and make that work as well. And then he also mentions the idea from the Ramban, which he also incorporates, that the goal of the mitzvah is to make us better people as well, to appreciate Hashem's hashgacha and Hashem's mercy and make us better people. So that's really an interesting navigation between the Gemara and the Rambam, in a way that the Rambam himself didn't do. Right? The Rambam in the Moreh just used sort of the blunt instrument of saying we paskin like the other shita, right? Whereas the chinuch says we're not. The Gemara is not rejecting Hashem's mercy. It's saying there's two different types of mercy. And now for the Zohar. Now for something completely different. So quickly, we'll quickly read this just because it's a very important source for this. So shaleach tishalach, right? Send away the mother bird from our pasuk. Tachaze malacha, so come and see the following, right? Malacha is the mimuna al ofin. There is a malach, there's a certain angel who's appointed over the birds. The ina nafshin de iskariu tziporin the sandalfon. Okay, that which is called tziporin, bird, which makes sense, and sandalfon. I don't know what that means. Shmei, fine. Sandalfon shmei, fine. Uvizimna de Yisrael mekaime hai pikuda. When the Jews fulfill this mitzvah, the meaning of sending away the mother bird. The azlas ima mistarcha uvnin tzavchin, and the mother is sent away, and the children are screaming, as I guess would happen. Right, the baby, the chicks are screaming. Ihu, this angel olif zchu, he's melamed zchus al ofin delay. This angel, this bird angel, is melamed zchus on all its birds. V'yema lekutcha brichu v'aksiv bach v'rachma v'chomasav amai gzeras al hay ofa distarcha mikina. Hashem, it says in the Torah that you have rachamim, you have mercy on all your creations. So why did you say in the Torah to send away the mother bird, you're causing all this suffering? How are you causing all this suffering? That's terrible. That's what this angel is complaining. Mechein metatron, olif schu al ofin delay. And also, metatron, the archangel, is arguing for schus for his angels, etc. And then, uvizman di Yisrael mekaimin haipikuda kol mimuna olif schu al ofin delay. Every angel, every representative, is melamed tzchus on its own birds, its own representatives. V'kut shabrichu mai avid. What does Hashem do? Kanish l'kol chaylin dilei. Hashem brings together all of his armies of angels. V'yema, he says to them, v'chi kol mimuna de ofe dilatata olif schu al ofin dilei de mimuna alayhu. Right? Down below, all those who are appointed over different birds are arguing for schus, are arguing in their favor below, and we're on high, we're in heaven. V'leis b'chu manda olif schu al b'nei de'inun Yisrael, b'nei b'chri Yisrael, b'nei b'chori Yisrael. None of you up on high are being melamed schus on Yisrael. None of you are saying good things for the Jewish people. V'al shchinta, and for the shchina, says Hashem about the shchina, about Hashem's presence. De'ihi b'galusa, the shchina is in exile. De'kana delay, the nest of the Shechina, de'ihi Yerushalayim, namely Yerushalayim, is Harva, Ubanoi Bigalusa, and the Shechina's children are in exile. And Tchos Yad Adonim Kashin, under the hands of these harsh masters, Umin de Alma, the nations of the world. V'leis man debay alayu rachami, no one is asking for mercy for them. So, v'yolif schu alayhu, ba'hu zimna. And no one is being melamed tzchus on them. No one's arguing on behalf of the Jewish people who are in Galus, and for the Shechina that's in Galus, the Shechina is the mother sent out of its nest. The children are screaming, right? This is what Hashem is saying. Who's arguing on behalf of them? Hashem says, you know what? No one else is being melamed tzchus on Bnei Yisrael and the Shechina. I'll do it myself, says Hashem. L'ma'ani ve'ase l'man shmi uveda yita rachmei al shchinte va'al banoi debigalusa. Based on this, there will be mercy for the Shechina and for the children in Galus. Okay, really beautiful. How does this come? How does this play out with Shiloh HaKein? Why do we do Shiloh HaKein? Why do we send away the mother bird? What's the goal? What do we want to play out there, according to the Zohar? Yeah.
Like create this pain in the
We want the mother bird to suffer, right? And the children too. Right? Why?
So then
it leads to this chain reaction, right? All the bird angels of various sorts will ask for mercy. Hashem will end up asking for mercy for Bnei Yisrael. It'll lead to good things. So for that purpose, it's worth torturing both the mother bird and the child bird. In fact, that was Hashem's intention when he gave this mitzvah, right? I want you to torture the mother bird and her children in order that it will lead to good things for the Jewish people. It's really the opposite of the Rambam and the Mor, right? The Rambam and the Mor says this is the source for Tzar Balei Chaim. I guess according to the Zohar, it's also the source for Tzar Balei Chaim, but for Tzar Balei Chaim being a mitzvah, right? I mean, in this case, not more broadly. But really, a shocking reversal, the opposite of what we see. And, you know, maybe it fits well with the Gemara, right? Saying, don't say it's for mercy. Well, according to the Zohar, it's definitely not for mercy. I mean, maybe it's for mercy for Bnei Yisrael down the line, but it's not mercy for the bird. We'll keep this in mind. This actually will have real halachic implications. This Zohar, it gets cited. Similar Zohar in 18, related, actually says, Shalach Tishalach. You say it twice, because one's Mikdash Rishon, one's Mikdash Sheni, the two Bate Mikdash. The Shechina was exiled twice. That's added cool twist. To quickly summarize, so what's the basis of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein? We saw a whole variety of reasons. Some have nothing at all to do with ethics, or really are pragmatic, right? You don't want to cut off the means of production, and you won't want to wipe out the whole species, right? Some ethical reasons that don't necessarily have to do with your feelings. For the Rashbam, it's really gluttonous. For the Hamek Davar, the mother deserves some sort of reward for what she did to her kids. And then the sort of the classic reason, or the classic non-reason, of Hashem is merciful. The problem is that the Mishnah and Gemara seem to say that that's not the reason why. Two different reasons given. The Rambam contradicts himself as to whether the basis is Gzera, presumably no reason, or whether it's because of Hashem's mercy. And various people try to find the middle path. The Ramban saying it's not Hashem's mercy, it's our mercy. We're supposed to learn to be merciful. The Chinuch saying it is Hashem's mercy, but that's different than human mercy. And that's how you fit with the Gemara. And then finally, just turning everything on its head, is the Zohar, that it's really the opposite of mercy. You're trying to cause pain, because ultimately that will lead Hashem to have mercy on Bnei Yisrael. So those are some of the reasons. I think tomorrow we're going to jump into the Gemara itself, and the Mishnah Gemara, and go through some of the sugyas. But I think this will be, both will tie into some of those sugyas and is a helpful frame as we enter our topic.